I'm Tracy from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Are you a small business owner or even someone who dreams of entrepreneurship? Then check out season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from iHeart Podcasts and Intuit QuickBooks. Join hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres as they interview entrepreneurs sharing insights around starting and nurturing a small business. You won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter. That's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered. For just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
Welcome to Stuff You Missed in History Class from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Holly Fry.
And I'm Sarah Dowdy.
And today we are talking about a topic that's kind of near and dear to my heart, and probably near and dear to the heart of anybody who has ever studied geisha, or even really Japanese culture, because it comes up a lot. I first learned about this story in Jodi Cobb's book about geisha, and Jodi Cobb is a woman who was the only Westerner, to the best of my knowledge, to ever be fully indoctrinated into geisha culture. And because in the West, we often equate geisha, we think of them as like sort of high class call girls, but that's not really accurate at all. They're really artists.
It's kind of like misperceptions about the Ottoman harem almost.
Right. Mm-hmm. Like they were really women of great culture and really artists in their own right and performers. And it was not completely void of a sexual element, but that really wasn't what that culture is about.
Yeah.
And so that book really opened the eyes, I think, to a lot of Westerners about it. And also to the story of Okichi, who is really one of the sort of great tragic figures of geisha culture.
And when you told me what you were thinking of researching, it didn't ring a bell. But mm-hmm. once I started reading about her story, I thought, oh, of course I've heard this
yeah.
before. And part of that is just because it has a strong fairy tale element to it, except in the worst possible way, you know, a tragic, tragic story.
Yes.
But it will probably be familiar to a lot of listeners, even if the name isn't familiar right away.
Yes. Well, and even if the story itself doesn't ring familiar to them, the themes of it do, because it really is, as you said, it's like your classic kind of tragic romance story.
Yeah.
There are a lot of elements that are very common, and that's not really accidental, we'll discover, because a lot of this is an embellished tale that, you know, has grown in reputation, and the details have been fleshed out here and there along the way. And
embellished for romance, embellished for tragedy.
It's totally become another thing than it probably was.
It has. So we're going to sort of do a classic Stuff You Missed in History Class take on it then, and examine that story, the story that you're likely to hear.
Yeah, the legend.
The legend. And then what historical basis there really is for it.
Right. This sort of less
exciting and thrilling,
but still reality. Interesting once you once you know the tale to see how it changes in interpretation over the years.
So for quick background, Okichi was born in December 1841 in Shimoda, Japan. Her parents, the Saitos, were Ichibei and his wife Mako, and they were fishermen. I mean, they were in a fishing village. Shimoda is the southernmost port city on the Izu Peninsula. So this was a time when Japan was not open to the outside world.
And that plays into this story pretty dramatically. But according to the legend, which is how we're going to kick it off, Okichi was incredibly beautiful and was sold into a geisha house when she was 12 years old. And I guess if you've read this book about sort of the history of geisha, is that a normal age to be entering the geisha house?
Yes. I mean, and when we say she was sold into the geisha house, that in and of itself has some connotations that sound really bad. But for a lot of these families, having a daughter that couldn't contribute to the work of the day-to-day, like, needs of a fishing family, they couldn't afford to keep those children and raise them well and give them the things that they felt that they needed. So it was really, in many impoverished families' eyes, a better thing to be like, go to this life of opulence where you will be given
everything. Educated, taken care of, well-fed.
Yes, you'll become a woman of, you know, great grace
culture.
And beauty.
Mm-hmm.
While it sounds really creepy, and it's unsettling to think that a family would be like, we're going to give you to these people. Not uncommon. And as far as age, I'm trying to remember because it has been a little while since I've read that whole book through. But I mean, I have heard accounts of kids much younger than that even, where it's just from the get-go, they kind of don't even have the resources to really get their kids through that early formative stage.
Well, in the amount of training that a geisha would have to go through too, you would start very early if you're learning music and dance and things like that that take a lifetime of practice.
Yes. And there's a biography about Okichi, which is often referenced in a lot of other literature about her, called Butterfly in the Wind. It's by Rei Kimura. And it's interesting because it's written very much in the style of a novel. So in terms of historical basis, I question it a little bit. And she writes a lot in a very prose fiction style, where she talks about the inner feelings and the inner thoughts of the characters of the story, where you know there's really probably no historical documentation that could lend sources to that. But it is a good read, and it's fundamentally, you know, kind of a really fleshed out, in-depth version of the Okichi legend that gets told over and over. So keep that in mind as we go forward. As we mentioned earlier, we're in the according to legend section.
And if you go off to do more research on this yourself, too, and you pick up the book and think, wait a minute, is this a historical novel?
Yeah, it definitely does not read as a textbook. Yeah. So it really is kind of a novelization of the story. And in this book, we're told of Okichi meeting, even though she is in the geisha culture at this point, she meets a man, Tsurumatsu, in the aftermath of a storm that hits Shimoda, and a lot of people had to evacuate, and she meets him during that evacuation stage.
So kind of gets out of the cloistered geisha training environment thanks to this storm.
Well, and at that point, she was already working as a geisha. Mm. I'm trying to remember if she was still in the apprentice stage where she was working alongside another, or if she had already ascended to be in her own right, fully fledged geisha. But, you know, in Kimura's telling of the story, Okichi is troubled because the opulence of the geisha world and the sort of indulgence of it is very unsettling to her. She sees it as, you know, not really how a person should live. And she really dreams of, like, a simpler life. She wants to be a wife and a mother. And so when she meets Tsurumatsu, who is very kind to her, and unlike the gentleman that she's been entertaining, he doesn't want anything from her. He's not, you know, she's not paid to make conversation with him. He just wants to be with her and care for her, and he doesn't care that she had been a geisha.
Yeah.
So she thinks all her dreams are about to come true.
Okay, but we know that's not going to go down quite exactly as you might think.
No.
Because in 1853, Commodore Matthew Perry of the U.S. Navy first landed in Japan. And by 1854, he had sailed to Okichi's hometown, Shimoda Harbor, with a varying number of ships, depending on the account you read.
Which is pretty startling, because that's like a historically significant event.
It's that did happen. Extremely historically significant.
I mean, it's huge, but even so, in different historical texts that are cited by other texts, different numbers of the ships he brought, I mean, they change up. In some
4 to 9.
4, and some it's 7, and some it's 9.
But the most important part is not the number of ships,
right,
but what he was there to accomplish and to demand, really. He demanded that Japan establish trade and diplomatic relationships with the U.S. Because, as you had mentioned earlier, Japan was a closed society and had been for its history. So this was a huge
milestone.
Shift in world history, really, but also pretty important in Okichi's life.
Yes. Now, in some tellings of the story, the dates get real sloppy. In some tellings of the story, Okichi was seen by Townsend Harris, who became the U.S. consul in 1856. And so already there's something dicey there, because that's after these treaties were being discussed.
Remember
initially.
This part. This is going to be the first thing we get into when we're getting into some legend debunking.
Yeah. So there is one version of the story where Townsend Harris sees her when she's 17. She's leaving a bathhouse with a friend of hers, and he thinks she's quite lovely. She doesn't interact with him during that, but then later on people come into her life and say, by the way, we need you, because this gentleman thinks you're beautiful, and if we can give you to him, it might grease the wheels of this whole negotiation process and make things go a lot smoother for us.
Because they were not going well at all at
no.
the time. Other accounts, though, have Okichi not being seen at the bathhouse at
right.
all.
But she was chosen by government officials because she was so lovely.
Exactly. She'd be a good candidate. I'm sure he'll like her. So in some versions, too, they offer up something for her taking on this role, and that is a job for her beloved, who is just a ship's carpenter, you know, a very simple sort of working man. Mm-hmm. They offer to make him a samurai, high-profile, high-class position.
Right.
Other accounts, though, say that he was just moved out of the way, essentially.
Yeah, he was given a job in another town.
Yeah, it wasn't here is a reward if you do this. It's just getting him out of the way.
Right.
And that's because, depending again on accounts, they might have been engaged. They might have even been married.
Right. Those accounts differ. Some say they were already married. Some say they were engaged. Some just say they were in love.
Mm-hmm. But he seemed like a man who needed to be removed from the equation.
To make it all easier. And in some cases, that's told as though it was offered up as a negotiation tactic with Okichi and Tsurumatsu. Like, we will make your lives easier financially if we can give Okichi to this foreigner. And in others, it's much harsher, and they just kind of gave her to the consul.
Take her, move him.
And they just kind of pushed him off into something else.
Yeah. So, however that ended up going down, treaties were signed in Shimoda in June of 1854. The two signers in question were Commodore Matthew Perry for the U.S. and Daigaku Hayashi for the shogunate. And the agreements did have a major effect, as we keep saying, on world history. They opened up Japan to international trade. It seems, from our legend at least, that maybe Okichi got the job done.
Yeah, but even the job that she was given is a little bit in question.
It is.
And also, you know, so as a little brief sidebar, 4 months later, I believe, after Matthew Perry had wrapped up his business there were Russian ships that also came. So right around the same time, it's not especially impactful on this story, but it's interesting because it does kind of point out how it started to domino very rapidly, that Japan opened up to the U.S. trades, and then there was a Russian consulate almost immediately after that opened as well.
Yeah.
So it was such a hugely shifting time for Japan. I mean, immediately after having been a closed country, within 5 months, they were trading regularly with two other countries already.
Two major countries.
I'm Tracy V. Wilson from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Did you know small businesses make up 99.9% of all businesses in the United States? The world is powered by entrepreneurs. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks. And every episode, hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres talk to entrepreneurs about how they've grown from the lessons of launching and nurturing a small business, and how they have found success being their own boss. From the excitement of first starting out to finding the right tools and resources to process invoices and payments like QuickBooks Money, you won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
Looking to part ways with complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping? Then give your business the edge it needs with USPS Ground Advantage shipping from the United States Postal Service. Keep everything simple with clear upfront pricing and no unexpected surcharges. Keep things affordable with some of the lowest prices out there. And keep it all reliable with on-time ground shipments. It's time to turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at usps.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable.
So Ogeechi, though, did live with Harris, who, as we mentioned, went on to become the U.S. consul.
Yeah.
For a time. Again, depending on the story, 3 years, 3 days.
The number three seems to be important, but it's a pretty vast difference.
Pretty big difference for how long you live with somebody. And then all sorts of versions of the legend of what she did while she lived with him.
Right.
Whether she was some sort of assassin. This is a dramatic movie version of the tale. Sent to kill him. Undercover geisha, I guess. But ends up being loyal to him, ends up saving his life. In other versions, she's sent to Harris by the shogunate as a spy. So not somebody to ease this this treaty negotiation at all, but to see what the U.S. representatives were up to.
Yeah. And there's a great deal of debate and discrepancy in accounts of whether or not their relationship was consummated. She has been described as his lover, as his housekeeper, as his nurse. There are people that believe that she served until the American consulate closed as, like, the local mistress for the consulate. I mean, it's all very – it goes from everything from, a chaste, caring nurse to – a prostitute, basically.
Yeah, consulate prostitute.
And every version in between, you know, embellish at will, apparently, is how that one went. Well, whichever version you like the best is the one you tell.
I know, it is. It's a very much choose-your-own-ending story, because it just gets even more out there, too, as it goes on.
Yeah.
After Harris left Japan, Okichi was left behind. And this is sort of the central focus of the legend, that being left and then being a shunned woman. Somebody who was called Tojin Okichi. So the mistress of a foreigner, the mistress of a barbarian.
Yeah.
A derogatory name for her.
Yeah.
And
she was basically ruined.
Yeah, ruined from this association, whatever it might have been, with this foreigner. And the stress of being shunned by the people she knew, her hometown, led to a drinking habit.
Yeah, which got very serious.
Yeah, and obviously her career, too, as a successful geisha was not going to progress.
She couldn't really just spark that back up.
No.
Because no one would pay for her to come and be an entertainer at their party, because she was, you know, kind of considered trash at that point,
tainted
unfortunately.
Woman. So she, you know, had to look for other work eventually. And some reports and the book we mentioned too tell a story of trying to start a hair salon business. You know, geisha, of course, have the elaborate hairstyles,
right,
which signify all sorts of things about them, too. I think Molly and Kristen did an episode on that some time ago.
Yeah.
And Steph Mom Never Told You. But that didn't go as planned.
No, it turned out that the society women that she was hoping to draw with her knowledge were not the ones that wanted to go there, because she was, again, still seen in a dark light. And so her clientele tended to be women of ill repute.
Yeah, the high class women in the town didn't want to be seen.
Right, they didn't
want to
associate with her, which is really, really sad. But in the meantime, you have to wonder what happened to her love. And some stories never mention him again. They just kind of jump to how Okichi's story ends. But in others, and this happens in the book, they are reunited for a time. But it's a very conflicted relationship. Initially, when she meets him again, she almost doesn't want to be with him. Like, she can't quite wrap her mind around it. But then they do strike up this relationship, but she's conflicted consistently about dragging Tsurumatsu and his business. He was a very popular carpenter, down with her disgrace. And it's very dramatic, and it's told in various versions. There are various levels of drama, but there is lots of drunkenness. There are fights where they talk about her having hung on to the fact that he left in the first place, mm-hmm, when the whole deal with the consul was going on. And, you know, it was really on a trajectory that it could never get to a positive place again. They both start to develop pretty heavy alcoholism issues. And eventually, Tsurumatsu's best friend convinces her that if she really loves him, she has to leave him, because he's not getting business anymore, because people don't want to be associated with her, even peripherally through him.
But his time is short.
Yeah.
Anyway, he dies a year later of a heart attack. And Okichi lived in Kyoto and Mishima for a time, possibly working as some sort of geisha in the darkest versions of the story as a prostitute.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally did return to Shimoda, where she opened up a restaurant. She called it Ancho Koro, but it didn't do well, lost money due to poor management. Okichi was not in a state to run a business,
no.
Intoxicated a lot of the time. Employees apparently stole from her.
Yeah, there's one story of an employee that is fairly conscientious, trying to tell her, like, people are stealing, don't you care? And she's just kind of too drunk to care. And so it turns that employee where they're like, if she doesn't care, I'm just going to start stealing from the till as well. So you can see where that's not really a good way to run a business.
No, but eventually, though, there was kind of a change in sentiment about her.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, maybe we've been too harsh. Maybe she has been misjudged. But she was in debt by that point, despairing of how her life turned out, and it didn't do much to help her at that point. No. So she died by suicide in 1892 at the age of 51 by drowning herself near Shimoda.
Yeah.
In the book, too, it's on March 25th, which is
right. There's actually a festival, day. Which yeah. we'll talk about a little bit more, and it's on a different day. And the day in the book, March 27th, which is when the festival actually happens in real life today, and is touted as the day she died. In the book, that's actually the day that a local priest took pity on her because no one claimed her body initially. And after 2 days, he just couldn't take it, and he claimed her and found a place for her in his temple to be buried. And that's the legend, which is horribly sad.
That's her legend. So she's dead at 51, this tragic life, living with the American consulate for, or consul for
some number of, three days to 3 years. Yeah.
And having her life, spiral downward in consequence. But according to historians, a lot of the details of that story are not true at all. And
right.
I'm sure that's apparent just from the discrepancies.
So dramatic.
Did she open these businesses?
Well, we know one of the businesses really
existed. The restaurant.
Because the restaurant is still there. And in the very bland version that comes up among historians is that Okichi and another young woman were housekeepers for Harris for a very short time. And her downward spiral in life was not really
unrelated.
I mean, there could have been a shadow cast on her reputation by things, but that it was not nearly as dramatic as what's often told in her story.
Yeah. So the major discrepancy, though, and we told you to remember this part, it has to do with the timeline and the treaties, because according to the legend, Okichi is clearly offered up as some sort of treaty bonus.
Yeah.
Work out the treaty with the help of this young lady who
right.
is a talented geisha.
But
doesn't add up.
She's always only linked to Townsend Harris.
Yeah.
And he actually did not get to Japan until 1856. So he wasn't even there when that treaty was happening. He did work on other treaties that came up along the way as, you know, shifting politics and trade needs were addressed, which is actually called the Harris Treaty of 1858, much later after this whole story was unfolding. And it's also called the Treaty of Amity and Commerce. But he could not have been offered Okichi to make those initial talks go well.
Because he wasn't in Japan.
He wasn't there yet. He was doing other things.
More discrepancies on the nature of the relationship and the timeline. Harris was...
He was the first foreigner that lived on Japanese soil.
Yeah.
But yeah, as we mentioned earlier, there's a one source that says she was only there for 3 days and not even until May of 1857. So again, nowhere near when the treaties were happening, when he first got there. And then this one kind of cracks me
up. This is my favorite.
You should read it.
Okay. So we told you that one possibility was that Okichi served as a nurse to Harris. That was the extent of their relationship. There is a large monument in front of the main building of the temple commemorating the beginning of cow milk being consumed in Japan.
Yeah.
And Harris supposedly was a big milk fan. He drank a lot of milk because he had ulcers and it helped with them.
Yep.
And it kind of, in a sort of roundabout way.
It kind of supports the nurse story.
Supports maybe he was a guy who needed a nurse.
And in the sort of novelized history of her life, there are instances where she is asked to go get more milk because they almost can't keep up with his need for milk. And she doesn't really want to go out because the villagers don't like her and they've already started to shun her. But she has to get milk for him and it's very dramatic stuff. But yeah, I mean, all of those embellishments were really developed likely through gossip and rumor. I mean, we know you don't have to be in 1850s Japan to love gossip. There are lots of stories that happen in modern era that just grow so outlandish and bizarre that they couldn't possibly be true, but people believe them.
Certainly, yeah.
And Okichi's story, even though it, you know, is in large part chunks of it are not true, we're pretty sure, it's very, very popular and it's actually become a big thing in Shimoda. It's memorialized throughout the
industry.
City. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Merchants sell Okichi souvenirs to tourists. There are tourist attractions built around her story. Hofukuji, which is the the temple where she was taken after she had passed and buried. It's a 16th century temple. And as we said, no one had claimed the body, and a priest that knew her family took pity on her and arranged for her to be buried there. And there's also a museum there of her possessions, like combs and some of her musical instruments from when she was a geisha. But the weirdest part to me is that her legend, and I was unable to find out what version of the legend this was, but her legend is relayed on a loudspeaker in both English and Japanese for tourists.
Because, I mean, clearly the legend loses a little of its loudspeaker appeal if you're, if you're saying, well, okay, some sources say, you know, the guy might have had ulcers, she was just delivering milk. It's a strange thing to consider. I guess if anybody has visited this site, we would love to hear more about what specifically is relayed over the loudspeaker, what version of the legend. But the most touching part of the story, because I think that we can assume that this part is true, her beloved is buried with her there.
Yes. And again, I have seen pictures. I haven't been. But I have seen pictures of their two sites, and they are side by side. There's really no verification in any sources that I found that, yes, he is actually there, or if it was just a monument erected. The idea is lovely, regardless. And then her restaurant is also a tourist destination now. Anchokuro is still a restaurant on the first floor, but part of the second floor, like one room, is dedicated as an Okichi museum.
There are also a lot of other Okichi items on display at Gyokusenji, which is a Buddhist temple that became the American consulate in 1856. And Harris lived in the temple for a year, too, making it a pretty integral
that was
part
really
of the story.
Where the American consulate in Japan began was in that temple.
Yeah. So the temple displays pipes and dishes and other belongings of Harris's, as well as life-size figurines of Harris in Okichi. And this is another one where if you have been there, we would like to have more information about this.
Well, and there is a Time article about it where they describe them as kind of ghastly. Like, it's a really creepy thing. But again, that's through one person's eyes. Other people may find them very touching and romantic.
Yeah, seeing them in person almost. The nicest part of this story, I think, although, again, the date is a little strange if this is the day they choose to commemorate. But Okichi is honored every year with a festival on March 27th.
Right. Which is either the anniversary of her death or the anniversary
burial.
That the priest claimed her body and took her back to the temple.
Yeah. So people do remember this woman, and
she's kind of become a symbol of how, you know, people can be victimized by the changing winds of culture.
Yeah, a symbol of that time, for sure. There's also some film adaptations.
There's one called Toji no Kichi, which it was very old. I believe it was made in the 1930s, and there's only like 4 minutes of surviving footage, which is like a brief dance section. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't really tell much of the story. It's like literally almost watching a documentary of a geisha performing. But there was another movie in 1958 called The Barbarian and the Geisha, and it's actually starring John Wayne and a Japanese actress named Aiko Ando. And it was filmed on location in Japan, which was a big deal when the movie came out. And it's directed by John Huston, who already had established a pretty spectacular career at that point.
I've got to see this movie now.
It's interesting. It's very, very interesting because, like, if you look at the Rotten Tomatoes score, it's only, like, I think it's 53%. But then if you look at it in iTunes and the movie store, like, there's a lot of really good reviews of it where some people are like, I think this is the great unsung role of John Wayne's career. But other critics will be like, this was the biggest misstep of both John Wayne and John Huston. Like, it was just, it did not go over well, even though it was beautiful because it was set
on
location.
Filmed in Japan, yeah.
And they really did do some, at that point.
In the 50s, too, which,
yeah,
I mean,
you didn't really bring a whole crew out to another country at that point.
Yeah, well, I want to see it all the more. But, I mean, I couldn't help thinking, too.
Just for John Wayne in his little, his robes, it's like, it's worth it.
I couldn't help but think, though, that it's maybe time for another adaptation of this.
Yeah. I mean,
it's such a compelling story. It does seem so suitable for fiction. I mean, maybe that's why the historical accounts of it seem to be tinged pretty strongly with fictional elements.
Yeah.
It's one of those stories where the historical basis is great and it's a good kickoff point, but maybe more could happen with it in fiction.
Give me a series.
Well, I kind of love the idea of the geisha spy.
Yeah. Well, and she is in the movie. She is sent as an assassin and kind of moves into a spy role before she becomes... They become very fond of each other and fall in love. And it's very dramatic and, you know, really kills him to leave her behind. And it's...
So I guess I'm basically requesting a spy movie, but also also a tragic romance, too. I mean...
Yeah, and because there is so little actual documentation, it's so easy for this to be even further embellished. Have at it, filmmakers. Yeah, go crazy.
Go for it.
Go crazy. So while sad, I think it is lovely that she has, you know, been redeemed in history. Again, we don't know the value of the actuality of what happened, but as a symbol, she's really become very important to kind of recognize the just the ways in which people's lives are genuinely affected by current events. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when people become pawns, it destroys lives. So it's good to have that remembrance and have her honored in the way that she is now at the festival. So sad story, but with sort of a happy coda to it.
Yes, I'd say so.
Yeah.
It's always good to have a festival day.
If you have to have a tragic life, at least you get a festival
afterwards.
At least
you get a festival in the long run.
Oh, and maybe another movie.
I'm Tracy V. Wilson from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Did you know small businesses make up 99.9% of all businesses in the United States? The world is powered by entrepreneurs. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks. And every episode, hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres talk to entrepreneurs about how they've grown from the lessons of launching and nurturing a small business and how they have found success being their own boss. From the excitement of first starting out to finding the right tools and resources to process invoices and payments like QuickBooks Money, you won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
Looking to part ways with complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping? Then give your business the edge it needs with USPS Ground Advantage shipping from the United States Postal Service. Keep everything simple with clear upfront pricing and no unexpected surcharges. Keep things affordable with some of the lowest prices out there. And keep it all reliable with on-time ground shipments. It's time to turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at usps.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable.
Okay, so moving on to listener mail today, I thought I would include some real mail. We have a nice postcard. It is from Renata in Omaha, and she wrote to say, "Hi, ladies. I took my grand tour of Europe before your podcast started. So now that I've finally gone somewhere interesting again, I didn't want to miss my opportunity to send you mail. I'm on a week-long trip to China for college and have been learning a ton about the Dragon Lady. If you visit the Forbidden City, you can see her summer palace, which is amazing. I would definitely recommend a warmer month because Renata was there in January and apparently found it rather chilly.
A little cold.
But that's really cool. The Dragon Lady was such a fun episode to talk about, and I love it, as I always say, when people are inspired to take trips based on the podcast. And
Forbidden City's on my bucket list.
Oh,
and now they have a Starbucks, so I'm covered. They really do.
Good to go. That was the one thing that was holding you back, Holly.
Yeah, they couldn't get coffee.
I have to mention, too, since you guys know, I like the stamps, the international stamps that we get on the postcard. This one has the coolest one.
It's good stamp.
It's crocodiles. Alligators.
They're kind of cuddling.
They are kind of cuddling. There was like a littler alligator who's resting his chin in a sleepy way on the other alligator's back, who's smiling at the reader.
It's quite dear.
So thank you. Thank you for choosing such a good stamp.
And a beautiful postcard.
And a lovely postcard. And I'm glad you had fun.
So if you would like to learn more about the topic we've talked about today, you can go to our website, type in the word geisha in the search bar, and you will get the article, How Geisha Work. If you would like to contact us, you can do so via Twitter.
Yeah, on Twitter. And we're also on Facebook. And we are at historypodcast@discovery.com for email. And we'll be getting your email soon.
We'd love to hear from you. And if you want to research almost anything else you can think of, you should do that at our website, which is howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com.
Wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Looking to part ways with complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping? Then give your business the edge it needs with USPS Ground Advantage shipping from the United States Postal Service. Keep everything simple with clear upfront pricing and no unexpected surcharges. Keep things affordable with some of the lowest prices out there. And keep it all reliable with on-time ground shipments. It's time to turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at usps.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
how this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.